In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Our church, my friends, has taken us into the Great Lent with three basic steps in order for us to reach the grand finale, which is to be crucified together and be resurrected with Christ. Obviously, this is the goal of the Great Lent. The first step is the will of conciliation with the people around us, and as a prerequisite of our conciliation with God. In other words, in order to have our debts forgiven, we have to forgive the people around us. Second, we have the most admirable and blessed fast, which can be so profitable for us. And third, we have the selection of our chosen treasure, if it is in a perishable earth or in the imperishable heaven. So we begin with these three basic phases, but we will concentrate and stay on the discussion of the subject of fasting. Fasting is a commandment of God. We cannot stress that enough, especially in our days, where fasting is beginning to be attacked by several orthodox circles, and unfortunately amongst them theologians as well. Again, fasting is a commandment of God. Christ said very clearly that unless your righteousness is higher than that of the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of God. Which means that our virtue must be higher than that of the Pharisees, and we must remember that the Pharisees fasted Mondays and Thursdays twice a week, and they fasted the complete fast. So as Orthodox Christians, we are commanded by the Lord to fast more than twice a week, if possible. Lent, Great Lent, Christmas Lent, and also the Lent of August for the Theotokos, the fast of the apostles, the fasts of the saints. So if we follow the fast was prescribed by the Orthodox Church, then we will certainly follow the commandment of the Lord, which very clearly says that we must have our virtue be higher, our righteousness must be higher than that of the Pharisees. So once again, with these words, we can negate the false thinking of the Western Christians that fasting is something of the Old Testament, or fasting is not a commandment. It is a commandment, but we must know the scriptures well, and also we need to have the Holy Spirit to be able to interpret the scriptures properly. So Christ did not come to legislate the law of fasting, because fasting was already legislated in the Old Testament, but he came to correct the manner, to modify the way that we fast, because the way had been changed. The Jews fasted to show off. In order to correct them, the Lord said, when you fast, put some oil on your head and wash your face so it will not be obvious to the people that you are fasting, and your Father who sees what's done in secret, will reward you publicly. That will reward you publicly shows that you have some reward or profit. When you offer your fasting to God, he will also offer you something, and this is the great profit, the fantastic benefits that we receive when we fast. In the case of the Pharisees, who fasted boastfully, they fasted with a false projection of godliness. The Lord points out that they already received their reward. I assure you that they already received their payment, as the Greek text says. And the payment chosen by them was the praise they received from men. Therefore, they didn't have a payment from God. So we see that fasting has a reward, a definite profit, and a benefit. So my dear brothers, let's look at some of these benefits of fasting. First of all, fasting becomes a great entrance for receiving spiritual gifts. Gifts, heavenly gifts, that we have so much need for today. The Lord assures us in the gospel, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you openly. In secret means that you are fasting without vainglory, without showing off. It does not mean that if we happen to find ourselves at a table during Lent or at a table after a certain service, memorial service, and meat is served, we will not eat so we don't scandalize people. No. We will maintain our fast because it is a command from God. We will simply say that we are fasting because this is Lent. That would not be showing off, but witnessing. Back then, the Pharisees were specifically looking for men's praise. Now, it's the opposite. You're going to be mocked. So, back then, it was much more fashionable to fast, and today, again, it's the opposite. But let's not start gossiping that we're fasting and we are weak because we lost our strength and we can hardly walk and we're ready to fall down from the extreme fasting where we fasted for 3 days. No, we will simply keep that to ourselves. And the Father who sees what we're doing in secret, without showing off, He will reward us publicly. He will make it obvious to everyone. In other words, He will show you off at His terms. But this right belongs to God and not to us. And what is this obvious manner with which the Lord will reward us? With gifts, with virtues, with heavenly gifts, which cannot be hidden. In many of the troparia, the hymns of the church, when we sing during the feast days of saints, we find this phrase, through fasting, vigilance, and prayer, heavenly gifts are received. Thus we praise the saints who receive these gifts from above. So obviously from fasting, we receive different gifts of the Holy Spirit. First, we have the virtues, for example, love, faith, and humility. These are gifts from God and are certainly given to people after some effort. They are charismata, which means gifts, but they also require some effort on our part. And that's what the definition of virtue is all about. Virtue is grace or charisma along with effort, because if it were only a gift, then why the need for praise? Also, we have wisdom as another gift, the interpretation of the scriptures, the word of God. All these are gifts that are given to the person that fasts. There are also some other extraordinary gifts, such as prophecy and vision, miraculous healing, knowledge, and many other miraculous energies from someone who has lived a life of fasting. That's why Saint Basil writes the following, whoever received or had any share in spiritual gifts, who lived in a continuous life of luxury and rich foods and enjoyment. Whoever received spiritual gifts in that environment, but also, according to Saint Basil, fasting gives birth to prophets. This we can see very easily in the life of the prophets, how they fasted and received the gift of prophecy. Also, the mysteries of God are revealed always through fasting. Remember Daniel and the three youths when Nebuchadnezzar demanded to have his dream interpreted. But what dream? He would not tell his wise advisors what dream he had, but he wanted them to tell him and describe the dream that he had. They ask him, "Great king, tell us what dream you saw, and we will interpret it for you." But he replied, "No, you are wicked. I want you to tell me what dream I saw." This is a strange request. Here God allows this so he can show the revelation that God shows to his saints when they are godly and they fast. At that time, Nebuchadnezzar was intimidating the wise men, and among them was Daniel and the three youths. Then all four of them got together, Daniel and the youths. They got together in a home and started all-night vigils and prayed to God to reveal to them what sort of dream the king had, and God answered. God revealed to Daniel since the three youths helped him. On all occasions, Daniel, before receiving any type of prophecy, he fasts. He states this in the 10th chapter of his book. "I, Daniel, having fasted 3 weeks, not eating any desirable food and meat and wine, not eating any desirable food and meat and wine did not enter my mouth." And from this, we can see that there is such a thing as the limited fast, where we can fast, let's say, from meat, dairy products, fish, and only have some foods like vegetables. We can see this kind of clearly in the scripture. So once again, Daniel fasted 3 weeks, living on possibly just some bread and not having any desirable food like meat or wine. Nothing like that entered his mouth. In other words, he fasted, and a little farther, he talks about sackcloth and ashes. Why? Because in this manner, he was begging God to reveal to him one of Jeremiah's prophecies about the 70 weeks. And what could possibly God mean through the prophet? So in this case, Daniel fasts and asks God to show him, and God reveals to him the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. My brothers, even the Holy Scripture tells us we will never be able to understand and receive the true meaning of the Holy Scriptures without fasting. Without fasting, we'll always stay at the words and their logic, and we'll never be able to go beyond. We will never be able to absorb and discover the true spirit of the gospel. the gospel will remain hidden for us, and it is possible that we can go as far as becoming enemies of the cross of Christ, because the cross is the everyday trial, and part of this trial is our fasting. Fasting is extremely necessary and indispensable for the virtue of purity and abstinence. Everybody is talking about abstinence today, but one way to succeed in purity, succeed in abstinence, is through the virtue of fasting. Saint Basil calls it the creator of abstinence and purity, which is a pure body and mind, and the avoidance of bodily sins. What teenager will ever be able to maintain his or her purity without fasting? Don't forget that fasting develops willpower. And without willpower, abstinence and any kind of virtue becomes impossible. He who fasts has the grace of God by keeping God's commandment. It develops the willpower in which we find the qualities of courage and patience, two virtues, the absence of which, once again, make purity impossible. In order to stay away from immorality in our teenage years and all our life, we need courage and patience. When the red hot arrows of the enemy, of the evil one, are coming at us, if we do not have the patience to say, hold on, they will pass, be patient, let's be patient, they will go away, and we stay in our room praying and asking God to help us not to sin, and all this type of thing requires a lot of courage and patience. Let's not forget that the maintaining of purity is a form of martyrdom, especially in our day and age. Also, since fasting solidifies willpower and brings forth bravery and courage, the person that honors fasting is ready to say no to sin, any type of sin, and this person is ready to deny sin and has the strength to deny and avoid any type of sin, not just the bodily sin. Another benefit of fasting is that it serves as the reins for moderation, helps us avoid excess and imbalance. Like the ancient Greeks, they used to say, stop before going to the point beyond. This psychology of more and more, this syndrome, this very dangerous syndrome that's plaguing our society today, because the consequence of this more syndrome is attachment to wealth, to material, and to earthly things, and to the flesh, and this attachment leads to idolatry. The above can change men into a carnal being and actually make us enemies of the cross of Christ. The fifth benefit of fasting is the humility of the body, because when someone does not feed and take special care and pamper his body, especially in periods of fasting, then fasting breaks the arrogance of the flesh. I'm good looking, I shine, I sparkle. This vain, glorious attitude is broken. What is also broken is the arrogant lifestyle in general. Because a man does not want to show off, but arrogance of lifestyle can be present through the nice house, the nice car, the new business, or the social status. All these become and can develop into an arrogant lifestyle. So the man who fasts expels the pleasure, expels the life of luxury, expels the extravagance and the boastfulness, in other words, the arrogance. He lives in humility and simplicity, becomes an ascetic, and seeks to eliminate anything unnecessary and spiritually harmful. A sixth benefit occurs when the children and generally the young people fast. Then we have the best and most successful educator in the home. As you know, in the olden days, the wealthy had educators for their children at home. As we can see, homeschooling that a lot of our brothers and sisters are doing is certainly not new. But a great educator, along with the other forms of education today, can be fasting. Fasting is extremely important because it'll teach our children and bring them up in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of God. It will teach them about the Ten Commandments, that they must keep them. It will teach them simplicity and frugality, which is so important for our young people. Simplicity and frugality means not to wear Jordache jeans, which cost an arm and a leg, and not to sit on the sidewalk and eat a sandwich or anything with a rude manner. This is not simplicity. So fasting comes as an educator to control the passions, and it will not allow them to take root, not even the obvious passions. Fasting will also teach our children bravery and respect. Respect and honoring our traditions, the church, traditions of the fathers. Fasting also cuts the whims of the children and bad habits, which constantly seem to increase. Fasting makes young people gentlemen and ladies and makes them gifted. And to all the virtues that St. Paul refers to when he writes and suggests all these things, fasting provides its contribution. For everything that is true, everything that is decent, everything that is righteous, everything that is pure, everything dear, everything that is of good taste, these are virtuous and deserving praise. My friends, fasting is the most inexpensive and secure educator. Happy will be the parents which will be able to acquire fasting as their servant, so to speak, and make it a governess for their children. A seventh benefit of fasting is good health. Yes, Saint Basil calls it the mother of health. Not only for the spiritual life, but also for the present and temporary life, fasting is extremely profitable. The numerous indigestions and stomach irregularities that follow those that live in luxury and gluttony who never fast, these are responsible for the serious diseases to the body. Another benefit of fasting is, according to Saint Basil, fasting increases home economics. In other words, it helps a family financially. It creates a balance in our spending. And Saint Basil continues, whoever decreased his finances in his home while fasting. Fasting does not know the meaning of a loan. To get loans, specifically to borrow, to live and eat luxuriously and beyond your means. The table of those that fast does not smell bad from the interest of the loans, and the children of those that die do not have to bear the loans and debts of their fathers, which can be like snakes wrapped around the orphans' necks. The child that fasts does not have to pay for the foolishness of the father if he happens to die. A ninth benefit is that this balance created in the home can also be extended to the public and national level. If the Christians fasted on Fridays and Wednesdays and during Lent, then we would not have the need to import all kinds of meats and cheese and eggs that would keep the exchange from leaving our country, referring to Greece in this situation, and reduce the trade deficit. This could mean more financial stability. Fasting can cure a great deal of the evil that plagues our society today, but it needs to be part of our society. Because it has no place in our modern age, this is why everything is upside down. Our people have lost control. We have lost control. We are now to the point where we are characterized as a consumptive society, a society of consumers, and our economy depends on spending. This means that the purpose of the society is nothing else but consumption, consuming as much as we possibly can. The wonderful statement of St. Paul, having covers and food to eat, these are enough for us, because there's great wealth in self-sufficiency, and we have lost the spirit of the gospel, and this is why we will never have economic stability as a nation and as a world. This is why St. Basil writes so wisely, fasting is the beauty of the city. St. Basil also says that a husband will never suspect his wife's infidelity when he sees that she's fasting, and vice versa, for the simple reason that an adulteress would never have the ability or the strength to fast. When the husband fasts, the wife could not turn green from envy that there's a chance of her husband being unfaithful, because a man who fasts never goes outside of his home to sin. The psychology behind this is phenomenal, which denotes the sharpness of our Holy Father. So fasting becomes the sure companion of the whole household and brings so simply and easily happiness to the parents and children. Another benefit of fasting is the fact that it gives the possibility of doing good works and almsgiving, since it cuts down on our spending and leaves us with a surplus which we can use to help others. A 12th benefit of St. Basil writes about, fasting is the jewel of the elderly. Fasting does decorate the elderly if we imagine what kind of picture an older person can give, constantly eating everything because of fear that if he does not eat, he will die. No, this certainly presents a picture of insecurity and a strong attachment to the biological life, showing that this person grew up and got old as a carnal being. No, according to St. Paul, he who depends on his biological needs and bases his whole existence on them is a carnal human being. My friends, fasting has other benefits, many, many, many other benefits, which St. Basil refers to as fasting is guarding of the soul, practice of the athletes, defender against the temptations, awakening to godliness, companion of vigilance, sense prayer all the way to heaven, partner of those that walk the right path, alienation of all evil, dissolving all bonds of injustice. One fact remains, that by eating, we lost paradise. But we can recapture it by fasting. We ate the forbidden food in paradise and we died. We must taste the food that stands forever, which is the body and blood of Christ, so we can live. In order to succeed in this, we must be aware of the benefits of fasting and disregard anybody who treats fasting are secondary and unnecessary. No, fasting is a commandment of God, and blessed are those who keep it.